Okay, hi everybody. This is Pat Williams for the monthly forum with the Institute for Life Coach Training. Right now we've got all the listeners in mute mode just because we might have static or noise, but we will unmute you shortly. We usually have a pretty clear line. I'm excited to do this forum today, and I'm glad we had so many sign up. We've got 40 or 50 people that signed up, and also, I know many people listen to this at leisure in a recording or as a podcast, so thank you for being here. For those of you that are Institute for Life Coach Training students, thank you. And for those of you who just hear about this through sharing on Facebook or signing up for the newsletter, welcome to our call. I have been doing a lot of blogging lately, as well as a specialized training that has to do with today's topic. And so I wanted to do a forum, a discussion on this, having to do with perspective shifting. I'll say more about some new specifics for me in a little bit, but if you go back to the class we teach at the Institute and my book, Becoming a Professional Life Coach, we talk in the Empowering the Client chapter about some skills of reframing, helping the client get a meta view, you know, a view above things like the helicopter view or a view beyond the norm, perspective taking. That's not the same as perspective shifting, but they have them look at their situation, their goal, their obstacle, their possibility, their intention, whatever it is, from a different point of view, from a different way of viewing it. And then there's some other advanced skills where we actually help our clients take a step into the future, have them view the future. And all those are variants on a theme of helping them have a different point of view. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I want you to imagine if you were in a room, let's say we are all sitting in a circle, and all of a sudden a great big beach ball, like 8 feet across, was half red and half white, landed in the room softly in the middle of the room. So depending upon where you were sitting, think about what you would see. If you're on the side that you only see the red, you're going to think it's a red ball. If you're on the side that you can only see the white, you're going to think it's a white beach ball. And if you're at either end of that beach ball, you might think, oh, it's half red, half white. And you can imagine many perspectives like that. I think somewhat humorously and somewhat sadly here in America during our political season, which seems to never end, everybody gives their perspective as if it's the truth. You know, the funny thing about politics is it's the art of persuasion. And yet when somebody makes a perspective about a view, an opinion, they think their opinion is the only right way to look at something. And what we use in coaching is the fact that none of us ever know the whole truth. And I don't even know if we speak the word truth except as what's honest and necessary for our clients. We're never trying to debate our clients. We're never trying to make them wrong. We're never trying to make our point of view the right point of view. We're trying to elicit new thinking and new viewpoints from our clients in the course of many conversations. Lately, I've written a couple of blogs, which I ask Amy to, they'll be posted on the website. You can get these. And they're also, I think they both, yeah, they both have been published on ILCT's website as in the blog section, so you can go back and even find these. But one of them is an article I wrote called The Pause That Refreshes, P-A-U-S-E, The Pause That Refreshes. And I'm going to go back a little bit about in the last 2 years, I have become certified in a process that I'm going to say more about called Points of You, Y-O-U. It's a process of creative communication from a couple in Israel. They created it 9 years ago, and I bought it 8 years ago and never did anything with it. It just sat on my shelf. And then I got an email about taking some training, and I somehow was in the right frame of mind to do that. And I took 6 months of training. I went to Israel for a 5-day retreat to finish that. I just did another training in New York City as a co-trainer. And I'm going to be offering something in 2016 for ILCT based on this method. But I say all that because one of the things they start their process with is a pause. It's usually a musical pause. Some of you might be used to meditation or yoga or walking in nature, quietness. A lot of people today call that mindfulness. I actually find that word humorous because I don't want a full mind. I want to empty my mind. So mindfulness to me sounds like an oxymoron. But the word pause is really something that enables us to exhale and look at our lives from a distance. The pause is a basic and necessary step that we take in order to break out of our thinking loop, our automatic functioning. And so when I do a workshop now with Points of View or I start any kind of group training, we do anything from 5 to 7 minutes of music. And you can pick yoga, spiritual type music. You can pick some nice ballad. I've played songs from the Beatles. You can play instrumental. You can play lyrical. You probably don't want to play hard rock and roll, but it is a way for you to have people pause and then come back and give their different point of view about how did they enjoy or not enjoy the experience. Some people will not like the song I picked. Some people will love it. Some people might cry. Some people will drift off into a different place in their mind. Some people will think it's too loud. Some people will think it's too soft. Some people will think it wasn't long enough. Some people will think it took forever. And that's the whole point. In these workshops and points of view, there's no wrong. There's no judgment. There's nothing wrong. So I wrote this article on the pause that refreshes, and I referenced events in my life that seemed to take place every 8 or 10 years from the time I was 18. And I have taken big pauses to kind of shake up my world and get a different point of view. At age 27, I did a 21-day outward bound in the canyonlands of Utah, away from TV, radio, news, with basic survival food and water that was carried or water holes that were found. And we had to put iodine in it to make sure it was clean. And if they had dead mosquitoes, it wasn't the water to drink, and so on and so forth. So that was a pause that's deeply embedded in my soul today. And then 15 years later, I took a pause volunteering to go on a friend's 42-foot motor yacht from Florida to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. And I had never been on the open seas before. So this was totally blind adventure for me. And I really had no idea what I was volunteering for. But I trusted my friend and his skills and the captain he hired. And that trip really shook up my world. I was seasick for the first 4 days. I was not much help on board, but Jerry, my friend, was kind enough to let me sleep and get balanced until I could be more helpful on board. That trip was 17 days and included beautiful sights, island people, and also some horrific storms and rough seas at times. But it was a very memorable 17-day adventure and one that added new chapters to the story of my life and my personal evolution. Then in 2007, so that would be 11 years later, I was invited to go on a trip called an InVenture, not an AdVenture, but an InVenture, and it turned out to be with 10 men. I thought it was going to be co-ed, but it turned out to be 10 men to Tanzania to explore the beauty and diversity of the flora and fauna, and yet we traveled with tribesmen from 3 different tribes, the Hadzabe, who are the only hunter-gatherer tribes left in the world, the Maasai people and their way of life with cattle and widespread reverence for the land, and another tribe called the Dorabos. And this experience was called an adventure because we had an outward adventure in a unique place, having seen nobody else for 2 weeks and living very intense and solar showers, etc. But we explored our inner terrain with nightly fireside chats and reflections on how is this affecting us? How are we being affected by this ancient landscape and the wild animals that we traveled amongst on this trek? And then my latest adventure just recently, I was invited, as I said, to participate in the retreat called Points of Inspiration from the Points of You company, with 16 people from 13 countries in Israel. And most of us were trainers in the method. It's a coaching and communication game with photograph cards and methods to relate a picture with a new way of looking at a goal. But our first 3 days, unbeknownst to us, were in the desert in South Israel in what were called sukkahs, very primitive huts in the desert with no running water and vegetarian food for 3 days. And then we were told that the first 2 days were to be in silence, except when we were in group meetings and process sharing. We all did deep personal exploration of our life direction, our place in the world, our purpose for being here, our connection to our new friends. And then the final 3 days were spent in Jerusalem exploring our inner self, but in group activities that included seeing the holy sites of the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims, giving us what I call purposeful touring for different points of view. A phenomenal place. This experience was yet another eye-opening experience and one that opened my heart and my spirit to new viewpoints and new ways to bring my learning back with me to my present life. So when I don't have events like that coming up, then I do daily pauses with music, with walking in nature, with reading something inspirational. So my question to you, which is going to be also a question you can ask your clients, and Amy, we can open the lines now as I ask this question. Based on the stories I read and my experiences, the concept of pause shifting, what are some ways that you pause in your life? I want to hear just from three or four people now, what do you do to take a purposeful pause?
Well, this is Phyllis. Can you hear me?
Yes, very clearly.
I have a ministry called Pause for Prayer.
Oh, how funny.
Yes. So I spend time pausing for prayer and for reflective reading and just reflecting over my life and my successes, areas that I would like to strengthen. And it's very purposeful and meaningful.
Very good. Yes, prayer, meditation, various other spiritual sects or religion will use beads or candles. So sometimes we use things like music or candles or chimes or inspirational readings. That's very good. Thank you. What does somebody else do when they are doing a purposeful pause? What's something they do in their life to get away from the norm and to shift your perspective a little bit?
Hi, can you hear me? This is Chanel.
Yeah, I hear Chanel, and I heard one other person. So, Chanel,
okay.
You go first.
Okay, great. So one thing I do, and this started out as really just exercising, really going for a run or for a walk in my neighborhood, but I think recently over the last year it changed, and it's really a time that's very quiet for me, and I try to use the time just to sort of clear my mind. Sometimes I think about events that have happened during the day, but I just use it to be really sort of present in the moment. So I'm really aware of, you know, what's happening around me. And it's amazing, actually, what you can notice in just your neighborhood just by looking around. I'm at a certain time, and I like it. It's very quiet and a nice purposeful pause for me. Not something I get to do every day, but I try to do it as often as I can.
Very nice. There was a little bit of garbling there, but I think I heard you very clearly, so thank you.
Sure.
And then there was another...
I'm sorry, this is Amy. Just going to break in for a moment. I'm muting lines when they get noisy, so if you have found yourself muted, you can press *6 to unmute yourself. Please just do that again when you're done so that we can
very good.
Lines glad clear. Okay.
I'm glad you're the master controller there. That's great.
No problem.
All right. Somebody else had a comment they were going to make. If you're not muted, could you please say what you do for pausing?
Well, this is Joan. I do the same thing as the last person. I exercise. I'll go for a long walk in nature. And
yes.
It's a really good de-stressor, too.
Yeah. You know, back when I was a psychologist, I used to call these decompression routines. So when people left a job and they came home to be a father or a husband or wife, it's like, do something to decompress before you walk in the door and have to assume that role. So I think the idea is to be purposeful in our transitions, but I think what you're doing, what we all want to do, is something that builds up our resilience. So not only stress reduction, but almost a stress inoculation is what I would call it. So these are things you can also teach your clients. Remember, you don't coach 100% of the time. Sometimes you can put on your teaching hat. You can offer a tool. You can ask the client if they would be interested in learning something that might be fun for them that would help them with stress or help them with focus. And that's fine. You know, you're not becoming a teacher. You're not telling them how to live their life, but you're offering a technique or a tool from time to time. So then I wrote another blog called Perspective Shifting and Points of View, Y-O-U, which is the company that I'm trained by now. And by the way, you can learn more about this if you want to at my website called drpatwilliams.com. And I've talked to Ellen, and I'm going to be doing a forum call probably in January for a class that I'll start in March where we'll teach you how to use this coaching game and the other card deck that comes with it. It's very, very exciting and fun and a good thing to add to your business. But in my career as a life and wellness coach, my goal has always been for clients to have positive change that would delight them and transformation that would surprise them, really. And one of the keys about learning about desired change includes knowing what you don't know and exploring new perspectives with curiosity, creativity, and a sense of experimenting. That's why I love this coaching game so much, because that's what it does. You use powerful questions, but the photographic cards help right brain and left brain connect. And so what we call coaching conversations today, or any other personal change endeavor, is mainly to increase a client's awareness, to shift perspectives of what's possible and make new choices based on the discovery they have. We don't even use the word failure. We say it's just results. You experiment, you try something, what'd you learn? Now what do you want to do differently? So how often do we believe we know the facts about some position or believe someone's opinion that is the truth, but opinions are just that. They're viewpoints based on observation, data collection, and also a preconceived bias. When clients come to a coaching relationship, we explore as early as possible what they believe or their belief systems, how they either help them or hinder them. And as many wise writers and teachers have stated over the centuries, what you believe is what you see. My colleague Wayne Dyer, who just passed away a little over a month ago, one of his famous books is, you know, you'll believe it when you see it, or you'll see it when you believe it. The opposite of what a lot of, I'll see it when I believe it. He wrote a book called You Believe It. When you believe it, you'll see it. And Henry Ford, the creator of the automobile, said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. So there's a little story I want to share with you about this perspective shifting that I, when I was writing this, I went back to this. I was 13 years old, and I had become an Eagle Scout in my local Boy Scout troop in Wichita, Kansas. And we were having a picnic with 50 of us in the park one day when all of a sudden the following occurred. A car screeched to a stop on the street. The door opened and gunshots were fired. A person lay on the ground, and the car then sped off. We were all in shock and what the heck, and fearful and agitated. But as it turns out, it was the local law enforcement viewing a planned demonstration, which we didn't know at the time until several officers soon asked many of us what we saw and what we witnessed. They broke us up in little groups, and they took notes just like we were witnesses. What did you see? The reports varied from what kind of car it was, what color of car, how many shots. We all had a different perception of what we saw and heard. Later, of course, we were then told it was just a demonstration. The person wasn't hurt at all, with the point of being our brains can fool us. So years later, it made me think, what good then is an eyewitness in a criminal defense or criminal prosecution? So I've been intrigued with this whole thing that we do with clients is we're not trying to make them see anything our way. You know, the famous Beatles song, try to see it my way. You know, it's not that, although that's not bad. It's just we're not saying our way is the right way. So when you work with clients, my request for you is to find ways to ask powerful questions that elicit new perspective. We always already teach the skill of reframing and meta view and stepping into the future. Those are different ways of shifting a person's perspective, but it can all be done by powerful question. You can say, what would it be like if? Or what if you put this in a different frame? What that might say to you? What if you looked at this from high above or far away? Or what if you looked at this from the future looking back? I mean, just make them up. If your partner were sitting here, what would they say? You know, things like that. If you were your own coach, what would you say? So all those kind of things are a way to shift perspective. So if we've got the lines open now, anybody that's not muted, if you've got some comments on what I've read or said or commented on, I'd be happy to hear it. What does this make you reflect on? Who's got a point of view? I hear somebody trying to speak. No? Nobody? Well, I'm not sure if we've got a bad connection or if you're all muted or if you're just all quiet.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Oh, great. You know, I hope this isn't the wrong time because I don't exactly have a comment, but I did have a question. I heard some of the powerful questions that you just mentioned.
Yeah, that's
and
fun.
I was just okay, and I was just wondering if you could provide any other examples of powerful questions that we could ask to help shift perspective.
You know, I've got a list of 530 coaching questions on my computer, and I never use that handout, and I'll tell you why. The best thing for you to become a better coach is to create the questions in the moment. If you listen with a focus to your client, and use the language that they're using. Actually, this comes from the core competency in the ICF called direct communication, because listening and then using direct communication is listening for metaphor, which I've taught before. That's a different way to shift perspective, asking if they use a metaphoric word, say, I heard you say you felt really stuck. Tell me more about being stuck. So there's a powerful question, you know, what's it like being stuck for you? Tell me more. So you use the client's language in the moment and just make sure you ask a what, where, and how question, not a why question. And you'll get to a perspective shifting.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, you don't want to become, I mean, if you're a new coach and you're practicing, sometimes a list of powerful questions is useful, like a recipe or like a driver's ed manual, but eventually you just want to throw it away and just coach. And just know that questions are created from the connection and the presence you have in the moment, because you don't want to become a question-asking machine that uses the same questions all the time.
Right. It should be really authentic.
Authentic, yes. Moment. Yes. Okay. Now, we did have a question that somebody sent in to us, Marilyn asked, what can you do to help a client make the connection or sustained steps connecting the, I'll do air quotes, zoom out realizations and the air quotes of everyday life? So when you zoom out, versus getting...
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? This is Joe Mason.
Yes, but I was trying to talk. I was in the middle of repeating something. I can't hear you, though. So Marilyn asked, what can you do to help a client make the connection and sustain steps connecting the zoom out realization and the weeds? So when somebody's stuck in the weeds of everyday life, the details, the conflict, they can't even get a perspective shift. You know, Marilyn and the rest of you, that's the very reason we ask such questions. If somebody's engaged in coaching, and by the way, this is a good selling point to tell people why coaching would be valuable. If you're having coffee at Starbucks with somebody who's considering hiring you, asking questions that would shift their perspective is going to be the kind of question nobody else ever asked them. So if you say, what would it be like if you had a different way of perceiving this view? What would it be like if you could split yourself in two and there was part of you that looked back at your situation like outside yourself watching a movie of you and the other part was in the moment? Or if you were in a chair, I mean, I'm just making this up right now. This isn't a technique I use all the time. So Marilyn and the rest of you, the perspective shifting is an intention that you have. And I think it's a major, 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 notice I said that three times, part of coaching. I think our role is to help clients see things from different points of view so that when they hang up and get into action, which is when the real benefit starts, they didn't just talk about what they already know. They learned something that they didn't know. They got a different aha. They got a different, oh, my God, I never thought of that. Or, oh, man, that really makes sense. If you hear that, then you've created an environment of empowerment for them. And notice I said you've created an environment of empowerment. You do not empower the client. You create the environment for empowerment. Okay, so I think there was a Joe that was trying to talk.
I muted that person because the line was noisy.
Yeah.
So again, if you're muted, you can press *6 to unmute yourself.
Yeah, sorry. The man that was speaking had a lot of background noise, so I'm sorry. Anybody else? Comments, questions, insights, perspectives? Okay. Well, then I'm gonna leave you with this. We will have this recorded, and I think we had a very good group of people today. If you're interested in a class on points of view that I will do through ILCT, if you'll go to my website, drpatwilliams.com, you can read about it, and you can contact me also at pat@lifecoachtraining.com, and you know, in the subject line, put points of view class. And that's points of UYOU. That's the name of the tool in the company. And I think I'll be happy to share more information with you about it. So thank you all for coming today, and go out and do something different for yourself to shift your perspective and have a different experience. Walk down a different street, drive home a different way, eat left-handed tonight, sleep on the other side of the bed. See what happens. All right? Bye, everybody.